It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yes, 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 I'm back. Ali is away. He will be back soon. But until then, it is me, D, on the MIC. Anyway, I don't know why I'm talking like that. Actually, that used to be one of my little early go-to rhymes. It's Damie D on the mic. Damie D in the place to be. Rap on the mic till 2:45. That's just old school. That was an old school. I don't know if y'all still know, if you grew up listening to rap or whatever, or, you know, since you was young or whatever and you had any type of aspiration to rap at any point in time or just to participate in it, maybe not even on a pro level, but, you know, I always feel like any true rap fan got, like, some push come to shove bars, at least 16, just in the tuck. In the tuck. Now, how dated they are is debatable, but that's like that's early on. That's early on, man. Yeah. In the place to be. The place to be used to be the place. We in the place to be right now. We in the conversation. You know? Chilling. Trying to make it happen, man. Trying to do it big in the midst of capitalism and scarcity-minded billionaires who still feel like they need more of your shit. Anyway, this might be a shorty because I got to run the streets in a little bit. I got to get out in the world and you know, gallivant, talk a little bit of, you know, talk some shit and engage with the people, you know. It's a night. I got a little joint to run to. You know, they got a couple events going on tonight that I need to be present for. So this might be a quick one. Plus, honestly, I ain't really got a whole lot to talk about, to be totally honest with you. I was looking at my calendar, because that's either I look at my camera roll or my calendar to see, okay, what can I talk? What did I live? What kind of living did I do since last Wednesday? You know, I'm looking at the living. And when I looked at, because I started on Wednesday, right? I looked at the Wednesday. I said, oh, shit. Last Wednesday was Earth Day. Last Wednesday was Earth Day. That's adorable. Earth Day. Still. People still celebrate Earth Day in 2026 in America. Come on. That's so idealistic. It's almost whimsical. It's like bring your kid to work day. Bring your kid to work day is, you know, that's actually more relevant than Earth Day. Al Gore, that Earth Day is when Al Gore just get mad drunk. They'd be like, I told these mother, oh, man. He get drunk. He just called people in his phone. He don't even know who he called. He just spinning on some old Price is Right shit. Spin the little contacts list and whoever it land on, they going to get a talking to. I told you, mother. I swear. I told you. Now look at this. Look at this. Happy Earth Day. Yeah, Earth Day. Air Max Day is bigger than Earth Day nowadays. You know what I'm saying? For sure. But, then that made me think, as I was talking about bring your kid to work day and idealisms, right? Polite society. That's something else that, like, we hope for, we wish for, we you know, we say these things and we hope they're true. But polite society, it's touch and go, right? But I remember when I was young, I don't know, I had this thought when I was young, and I'm not sure if it was polite society or if it was reality, but when your parent would bring you to work, to bring you to their job, and their coworkers would just show you love, you know what I mean? Oh, wow, look at those genie son, ah, you know what I mean? treat you like a little star. You know, endless love. Oh, yeah, we love your mother over here. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, that's what's up. Good to see you. How old are you? Really? You know, they so captivated and had so held so much space, you know, for your young ass. You know what I mean? Really? What you want some candy? You know, all of that silly shit. I don't know if that's still going on. I don't know. I don't even know, especially in the work from home era. I don't know if you just you pull your kid onto the screen if people have that same energy, or do they just close? Do they just cut their camera off because they don't want to engage? I'm not sure. But I felt like that. Was it real? Because I used to be like, that's how you know your parent got props at the job, just based on how the rest of the coworkers treat you when you come through. You're like, oh, shit, man. My moms must be the shit in here. You know what I mean? But it might have just been polite society. It might have been people being civil. They wasn't keeping it real for you, keeping it real with you, because you a child and you don't need to be in the mix of all this real deal workplace animosity. Oh, you Al, son? Man, listen, I could tell you some shit about your father, but if you back here after I'm finished with this cigarette, I'm gonna tell you the real. But it's good to meet you, little man. Good to meet you. Hopefully you don't grow up to be like your father. Anyway, happy Earth Day. Hopefully you planted a tree or something. You know what I mean? Hopefully you did something that was, kind to the earth. You know, maybe even did some grounding. Maybe you got out there barefoot. Put your feet in the grass. I always kind of like, I don't know if it's envy, if it's cynicism. You know what I mean? I don't know. But like, living in the city, that grounded looked cool. It looked cool. It's the grounding in the city is sparing. You know, we got green spaces. You know, but they, you know, you gotta. It ain't, that's not abundant. It's enough, I guess it's enough green space for the people. But even then, it's very communal, these green spaces, you know? So, be careful just putting your naked feet in that green space. Look first, you know, comb through some of those blades of grass before you just put your whole naked footbed in the midst. I'm just bugging out, yo. Shit, how y'all doing? I ain't even asked. How you doing? All right. Okay. All right, bet. Hell yeah. Nah, I agree. I absolutely agree, for sure. We'll see. We will see. But yeah, I agree with everything you just said, for sure. That's real. That is, now you did that. You said that. Man, how you guys feeling with this whole Megan Clay breakup? You guys okay? You guys okay? I just want to talk to you like that. I'm trying to be intentional. I hate when people say that. My goal was to be intentional. All right, yeah. But you guys okay? Everybody okay? Okay, but I just gotta check in. Just wanna make sure people are taking it really hard. Some of this shit, it reminds me of the Charlie Kirk assassination. Some of this mourning is a little performative. You know what I mean? It was unfortunate, but are you still alive? You know, like, did the guy break up with you? All right. Exactly. I mean, listen, I don't want to be insensitive. That's how I felt. That's how I felt with the Charlie Kirk thing. Like, why I feel insensitive? Because I don't really care like that. It's unfortunate, truly. But these things happen. And I'm not putting those in the same bucket. But I'm just, you know, I'm being facetious a little bit. But anyway, if you don't know, if you're young on the internet, and I don't even know why I'm delving into this. But again, I scroll through the world. I scroll through the social medias and everything, and I see Meg Thee Stallion and Klay Thompson have split ways, and allegedly Klay cheated on that woman. And hey, that type of shit happens, unfortunately. It the type of shit happens. But this like level of like unpacking, collective unpacking that's going on my timeline is outrageous. It is it's wild to me. It's fucked up for them, you know, but it didn't really have nothing to do with us. I'm gonna be honest with you. I never wanted to be privy to that shit in the first place. You know what I'm saying? I guess these last couple of weeks I've been confronting my cynicism, but I don't never like couple content. Very rarely do I like couple content, cause it don't always look like it's the parody is there. It don't look like both are all in. Every so often, it's rare when it's like, oh, nah, this feels organic. More often than not, it feels like somebody's, is this under duress? Or is this intentional? You know what I mean? Is this fallout for some shit that happened now that you and your mate are doing this podcast together? Is this really what y'all wanted to do? You know? And I'm not talking about them. I'm just talking about just being, as they say, in the group chat. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care to participate in none of this. So anytime I see a relationship playing out in a public forum, unfortunately, I feel like it's doomed to fail. You know what I mean? Like, you know. And, you know, like, failure is cool in private, especially relationship failure. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of, I'm of that ilk. Keep that to the side. Let that be where it's at. You know. But what has really blown me away, because I want to get it off of them, but what's really kind of thrown me, because it's exhausting, but what really threw me is how this became like a springboard for more battle of the sexes rhetoric, especially intra-racial battle of the sexes rhetoric. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, shit corny. Shit is corny, man. I don't even want to make it sound like it's trite, but I love black women. Right, I just want to say that because sometimes it seems as though maybe the actions of a few can feels like we take the blame for a fringe community of cats that just be on some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. I just hate the little battle of the sexes shit. I think that, and if we're talking about within the community, I always say we better together. Solidarity is key, especially right now in these trying times. Trying times is another cliche, but you know, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it is resilient season, as I always say. But, yeah, that's really, I don't really want to get too deep into it. I will say it's funny. Because I think that they both have their own fame in different sectors of the world, right? So there's this thing where women particularly are saying like, Clay is a nobody. it's like a nobody. Like, he ain't got 4 championship rings. You know what I'm saying? Like, he might be bland personality wise as compared to Meg Thee Stallion, but the kid was accomplished. You know what I'm saying? And I kind of like the fact, and I don't know if it's toxic, but I just like the fact that it is radio silent. Don't say nothing. Just do, live your life however you live your life. Y'all will sort that out. And you know, hey, I hope as a society we could all heal from this and move forward. You know what I mean? Move forward. Because if the earth if the earth could still have earth days in the shape that the earth is in, I think we can make it. I think we can make it. Anyway. If you want any more of my sentiments on that, please read my Substack. NiggaGottaEat.substack.com. No, I don't have a Substack, but I be reading them. I read a lot of Substacks. Substacks, you know, that's the mixtapes for writers. You know, just like podcasts is the mixtapes for people with opinions. I read some Substacks. I like the idea of them. You know what I mean? Some are better than others, you know. And, yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. I definitely subscribe for free to a lot of them. You know, I haven't put my money where my mouth is. You know what I mean? I don't even buy books no more. I'm a library nigga, so listen. I'm gonna read what you got gratis. Anything behind a paywall? I don't know. That conversation ain't for me. That ain't for me. It's above me now. I'm bugging right now. I'm just having a good time. I hope y'all enjoy yourselves. I do not really feel like talking about that little dinner theater thing that happened in DC, because I think it was dinner theater, and I don't really want to engage in the shenanigans and the trick knowledge. Something about it just seems off. Similar to how my man's face don't match his torso pigment-wise, you know. I think that I'm seeing a lot of, there's not even a lot of finesse in the pimping. It's like gorilla pimping. There's no real respect or regard for the intelligence of the masses. It's like, even if you got questions, man, we ain't even trying to come up with no good lies no more. We just gonna say what we feel. It is what it is. And if it don't make no sense, we gonna just say we ain't never say that. You know? It's a super gaslight, you know. Listen. So I looked at that, I was like, man, maybe I'm wrong, but it just something felt fishy. Speaking of fishy, man, I had some good-ass catfish this weekend, man. I had some good catfish and some decent whiting and some fried shrimp. I'm out here eating shrimp again. That's scary to me. It's still a little scary to me, but I'm like, it's like existential. I don't even know if that's what I want to say, but it's just like, it is, you know, like I'd been saying, yo, nah, I'm allergic to shrimp since I was at least 9 years old, you know, and damn near 40 years ago, like 9 years old. I've been saying, no, I don't eat shrimp. I identified myself as somebody that was allergic to shellfish. And probably at least maybe 10 years ago, I dabbled back to crab, and I was being okay with it, you know, and then I've told a story before, where I tried to get back to shrimp, but the smell of it triggered, it was like, ooh, nah, that ain't it, it made me nauseous, so I couldn't mess with it. But then I said to myself one day, because I had shrimp by mistake and nothing happened, and I was like, maybe I just don't need to smell it cooking, maybe if I just get it prepared, I could probably eat it. And, you know, we've talked about it. I've been doing a little bit here and there. And it's almost like I'm trying to make up for lost time. But at the same time, I don't know if I really... One, there's the fear. Somebody DM'd me saying, yo, dog, be careful because them allergies come back and they come back with a vengeance. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you might, the allergy is rocking me to sleep right now. You know what I'm saying? Just letting me get my little confidence up, and it's just going to put me in a fucking mean chokehold and put me down finally. You know, nigga did too much. Which is a condolence in the hood. You know, not a condolence, a cause of death in the hood, doing too much. So there's a part of me that's still a little leery. But, like, again, there's a part of me that identified as somebody that didn't eat shrimp. You know, I remember one of my last relationships, me and my lady, we both was allergic. That was like, look at us, compatible with our allergies. You know, I feel like I'm turning my back on all of the non-shellfish eaters. I feel like I got to find a new identity. Now I eat shellfish again. Now I can eat shrimp. I don't know. It's a lot. It's a lot of overthinking for just fucking some shrimp, for some bottom feeders. But I had some good ones, and them shits was kind of slamming. And then what I did, because I went to make my fish, which I was kind of on the fence with. I went to make my fish, and I got, like I said, I got some great catfish, some decent whiting. And I still say Taste the Seafood make the best whiting in Harlem, I would say. And some good shrimp, right? And they give you a lot, right? So I had so much shrimp because I don't know. It's still a part of me. It's like, all right, be careful. So I get, oh, and there's the thing of, let me try all this shrimp shit I be hearing about. So then the next day I was like, yo, let me save some of these shrimp and I'm going to make shrimp and grits. You know, because I always see it at the brunch. I've never had shrimp and grits. So I made some grits. And I'm going to be honest with you, yo, grits are a labor of love. Like, you got to stay tuned. Can't really walk away too much with the grit. You know, but I made some grits and them shits was creamy. I'm typically, I got confidence in certain dishes I can make, but grits is always one of them things. I'm like, I don't know about that. You know what I'm saying? My shits always kind of be a little too granular, or maybe a little burnt at the bottom, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not this. Whip that shit. Some cheesy shit, you know what I mean? In the pot, you know. Grits was fantastic. Fantastic. And I hit him with the shrimp. That shit was good. Yeah. But I will say this. I'm also got to be careful with all of that because I am in the battle with the SNS gang. You know, that's the salt and sugar gang. You know, and the SNS gang is damn near undefeated. They've been killing niggas for years. Since, shit, way back chattel slavery time prior to, you know what I mean? Like, niggas been going, whew. And it's only getting worse and worse and worse and worse. So, I'm trying to be better at it. I had a good conversation with one of my homies. He was, you know, we was talking that health talk. And, I'm trying to get heavy on the fruits and the vegetables. I do a good amount, but I could do more. Like, I'm flirting with strictly fruits and vegetables, going all that way. You know, leaving the beef and the chicken and all of that shit alone. You know, it's tough though. Leaving, and then salt is everywhere, sugar is everywhere. It's just embedded in everything. You know, but I don't know, man. Good friend of mine, one of my best friends. Well, my best friend turned 50. And that is an accomplishment. You know, shit, I want to get there. That's an accomplishment. And I want to go beyond that. You know what I'm saying? I want to go beyond that, you know. Turning 50 is like this. What's my man? This is the cat that just did the sub-3 at, what was it? What'd he do? He did the marathon in under 3 hours or something like that. Sub-3 hours, sub-2 hours, something crazy. That's how I feel being a black man turning 50. And it shouldn't be like that. We should at least extend it. It should be like 85. 85 is good. Look at that. Look at me like, I negotiated with, like, I want to live for a long time, especially if I got some bread. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to live horribly for a long time. That's a tough life. That's a long, tough life. I gotta get a harmonica if I'm living a hard, tough life. I'll make me some blues records, you know? But, yeah, I would like to thrive for a while. So with that said, try to chill with a lot of the sodium, you know? Thank God, you know. And I'd be nervous now. I get a headache that lasts too long. I'm like, oh shit. You know? So y'all, everybody that's listening, try to be more, you know, in tune with your body and more diligent about your health, you know, for sure. I haven't seen Michael yet. I'm not pressed at all. I will catch it when I catch it, you know. I'm happy it did well at the box office. I'm not surprised because it's Michael Jackson. And Michael Jackson still bring him out. Even, you know, in death, he can still sell a ticket. So I'm happy to hear that. My man Chris Lambert, he said it's a black superhero movie. That's what he called it. I like that synopsis. I got to see if I agree. Shout out to my man Wes Manchild. He enjoyed it too. I know there's some mixed reviews, but the people that I know, like, most people kind of dig it. But maybe we just giving that man the benefit of the doubt. You know what I'm saying? I'll get into it. I mean, there's some good actors in it. I heard Coleman Domingo got busy, you know. Biopics, and I had to say biopics, I'm of the biopic ilk. I'm one of them cats that was saying biopic until just a couple years ago. But biopics, they, to me, they're very hit or miss. They like them wax statues. You know, either they're like eerily on point or they just a distorted mess. So I've been hearing it's pretty good. So we'll see. We'll see. If you've seen it, if you've seen Michael already, let me know in the comments how you felt about it. What did you enjoy it? You know, let me know just your enjoyment factor. Don't hit me with the spoilers. I mean, I don't even know how many spoilers it could be. Mike, I mean, we seen Mike live, you know, so. Yeah, tell me what you thought. I just watched this Jay-Z interview. I guess about a songwriter interview. New York Times did it. It's becoming harder and harder. The fact that this seems to be a celebration of, I think they said, the top 50 writers, living writers in America. That's okay, because I'm like, all right, this is not just a dedicated Jay-Z interview, because it was starting to get harder and harder for me to think that this cat is not cooking up a new album. This is more so him being celebrated with a small community of living legends with the pen. And it was pretty good. It was pretty good. But then that had me, shout out to my man Relly, we had a conversation about, he was saying, you know, Jay-Z should do a pod. He should have be a guest on the pod, not do a pod, but be a guest on the pod. And who would be the most viable interviewer, you know, besides me, who would be the most viable interviewer to interview Jay-Z? And it's tough because I'm like, I think the thing is either there's going to be people that are like fanned out, that they're not going to press them on certain things or be challenging them on certain things. They just, you know, kind of defer just out of their fandom and, you know, or they'll be so disconnected that they won't really ask the questions that you would want, you know, asked. And this, you know, I had a short list of people, but one of the things that I thought, though, I was like, I don't know if he really want to do it. Like, is there much of an upside? I don't know if, I think Jay-Z knows this, like, he has currency in his mystique, you know. And who's to say how candid this man will really be? You know, and I respect it on a certain level. I respect cats that still kind of keep a little bit. Everything ain't for everybody. I respect people that just say, listen, I'm not going to reveal all of that. You know, maybe there'll be a book, you know, in the twilight of it all. And maybe I kind of talk that shit then. But until then, nah. Nah. Respectfully, nah. As Dave Chappelle said, he didn't know how to say. I respectfully decline. Respectfully, nah. But it also made me think, I was like, you know what I would take, though? Instead of like a revealing drunk-ass Jay-Z on Drink Champs talking shit, which would be amazing. But I would love for him to do like a Decoded Part 2. that just dealt with all of the subliminals he put out and breaking them down and who they were targeted at and why. That would be dope. That would be dope. That would be fantastic. I would really fuck with that. I would enjoy that. I think he could do that. I think, you know, the statute of limitations of rap beef are up at this point. You know what I mean? You could talk about, yeah, I was shitting on that motherfucker right there. And that one, yeah, I was talking about such and such. And that was the time when, you know, da-da-da-da-da happened. That would be great. I would fuck with that as a true fan. Prisoner of the Metrics is something I got on the list. I know what that means. Basically, and it's going to be a quick one. We might expound on this a little later, but like, for instance, Michael, right? I don't know what the Rotten Tomatoes number is. I heard it was low, right? But just that, like, I'm not letting that dictate if I want to engage with stuff. You know, I got a friend of mine. That's all he's, that's part of the pitch of everything he's saying. Yo, such and such got an 8 on Pitchfork, or this got this many, you know what I mean? And it's worthy to watch. It's like, I used to be like that. I used to be like that with like Yelp reviews, you know? Like, oh shit, this spot got 5 stars, 450 reviews, and it's still at a 5? This is crazy. I gotta go to this Mexican restaurant. And then I get there and I realize I don't really like Mexican food that much. It's fine. It's fine, but I'm not like, oh, you know what I mean? Shout out to all the Mexicans though listening. Mad. You know what I mean? Don't be mad. It's what it is. I like certain shit, but you know. Y'all ain't that high on the hierarchy if I had to do my cuisine hierarchy. You know, no disrespect. Shit. I feel like that was enough. I think now we're going to just talk about Euphoria, and I'm going to transform and roll out. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about Euphoria. I haven't seen it in a couple days, so again, I'm just kind of, I'm recalling. I just remember it opens up. I want to say it opens up with Jules painting, you know? And the thing is, I'm like, oh, shit, Jules is okay. Jules is a pretty damn good artist. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe this is the Jules episode. You know what I'm saying? Because she's, you know, for a while, it was Rue and Jules. They were the two leads, you know, when they did the special. It's like Rue got her episode and Jules got her episode. So I kind of always look at them as the, you know, the two leads of the show. Even though Cassie has been kind of, you know, going kind of pushed to the front. So anyway, boom, we're looking at Jules. She's in a nice little apartment. No, she's in a studio, nice little studio. Nice, actually, nice, pretty nice studio. And she's painting, and the painting is looking, it's pretty good, especially for, you know, somebody that's kind of young in their craft. I don't, you know, who knows how long she had been drawing. She's in art school, and she's doing good painting, and she got a roommate, and her roommate was like, yo, I see what you're doing over there. That's what's up. Trying to get some money, you know, trying to make some money. That is one of the, trying to get some money is definitely one of those that'll make you lean in. But there's certain phrases that I like to call the grifter's preamble. You know, one of them is, yo, let me put you on the game. Let me tell you what they not telling you. You know what I'm saying? You want to be the plug? You know, all those type of things that make you lean in. The greed meter get crazy, and then you get ripe to be finessed. But anyway, her roommate was like, yo, I see you painting nice. You know what I mean? I don't know if you're really getting money, you know, but I might, you know, I'm out here in these streets. I'm getting a little bit of paper. And she basically tells her about the sugar baby hustle. You know, yeah, you just go out with these older guys and, you know, they pay you a whole lot just to be in your presence. They love you. You know, you're young, you're cute, you know, blah, blah, blah. It might get sexual. It might not. You know, it depends on what you comfortable with and how much they talking, you know. But listen, I mean, I could plug you. I could put you on. You down? She's a little reluctant. I don't know. You know what I mean? You know, because This is a subset of sex work. We being honest with it. I mean, sugar daddy, sugar baby, it sounds sweet, you know, no pun, well, pun intended. You know what I mean? It sounds real palatable, but it is still pay for play. You know, it might not be as hard line of transaction as just straight escort or straight off the corner work, but it is, it ain't for the love in the least. So anyway, she's like, I don't know. So she go out on one date with a cat. He real awkward with it. Take her to dinner. He give her $200. He say, I got some more money if you trying to come to the house. She goes to the house. Basically, he just want to sniff her damn leggings. Want to sniff her stockings. You know what I mean? That's it. He only want no more. He just want to give it a good sniff, heavy sniff. It remind me of that Jill Scott song. She sniffed. You know what I'm saying? So he in there sniffing her down, giving her some money. She kind of turned out from the first transaction. Yo, I can pay my rent. All I gotta do is let this motherfucker sniff on my thighs, and then it's a battery of cats until she find this one plastic surgeon who kind of, you know, he's the one. I guess he's the top, you know, he's the top patron. So we seeing that, you know, she's living a life of means that's not in line with what she does as an artist. You know, but she gets on the phone. She's like, yo, I think I don't even want to be in art school no more. I think that what they teaching me ain't enough. I think I can learn in the real world. You know, when you get some money, boy, your whole persona change. Everything, like, it could go straight to your head. You know what I mean? So she like, listen, I don't even want to do that art school thing no more. I think I got it. I got a hang on it. I got a handle on this. And I guess she's leaving out the part of she's being sniffed on. You know what I mean? Making it sound as though she's moving canvases, but that ain't the case. So we see a little bit of that, right? So we thinking, oh, it's going to be a Jules episode, but nah. We at the wedding of Nate and Cassie, which is interesting because it's like, what is this, the third episode or something like that? Typically, I guess maybe we got a lot in store because from what I understand, this is likely to be the last season of Euphoria, and allegedly Sam Levinson was saying, like, there's going to be some real finality. So maybe some people are going to die or something. People are going to go to jail, whatever. So typically a lot of shows, they'll use the wedding as like a carrot for you to keep watching. And the payoff is like the last episode. Here's the wedding, you know, the culmination with everybody there and all of that type of thing. It's like the TV show equivalent of like a posse record, you know, everybody on the jam, everybody got a verse. But nah, they doing it on the third episode. And, so it is Nate and Cassie finally tying the knot, right? And we see this mad flowers. All that flower work that Cassie was out there doing, it paid off. You know what I mean? It was a lot. It was a whole lot of flowers. It wasn't skimp on the flowers. It was a whole lot of flowers. It was like, damn, okay, I see why it's 60K, I guess. So the wedding, it looked like it was some money spent for sure. Who was in attendance? So Nate was there. Cassie, obviously, Lexi, Cassie's sister, Maddie show up. You know what I mean? Maddie show up, blast from the past. You know what I mean? The other woman, she show up. Rue brings Jules to the event, to the wedding. Pays her on some sugar daddy shit. Yo, here, take that. You know what I mean? Put that in your titty, as Ali would say. You know what I'm saying? Hold that. So they there. I forget. Nate's father, obviously. Nate's mother. Cassie's mother. You know, the whole thing. Now, this is the thing that I didn't realize. I was listening to a podcast. And they were saying that I didn't even think about it. And I might want to rewatch it now to see. but they probably weren't all in the same room, you know? Like, obviously, there's a lot of coverage and a lot of reshoots and different shoots like that, but it's for reasons that they're, I guess, people on the cast that don't really mess with each other. Like, I had heard that, you know, Zendaya and Sydney Sweeney don't really rock with each other. I don't know how deep it is. I think some of it had to probably do with the eugenics, MAGA adjacent type of thing going on, but maybe even prior to that. I know that allegedly that they wasn't going to do any press together, but I didn't know that they wasn't filming together, you know, and that cast is so, like, it's a lot of people. So, you know, after that was said, and I would have to rewatch it, but it did seem kind of interesting how certain characters didn't really interact with each other. Like, the biggest, the most glaring is, like, Maddie didn't really get to make a scene or nothing. Like, you know, or do anything. She didn't even engage with them. And this is her place to kind of, you know, either act up or kind of, you know, keep it cute, as they say. You know what I'm saying? Like, be smooth, be mature about it, keep it player. You know what I mean? Yeah, happy, you know what I'm saying? Congratulations. I see y'all. You know, a little tied to knot, huh? Ha ha! I could dig it. I could dig it. Look at y'all love, huh? Thank me. Do I get a piece? Do I get PC? Do I get a little finder's fee for putting this shit together? You know, something. But none of that. She was just in attendance. So anyway, we see that. We see that going on, and you see the wedding, and as the wedding goes on and on, you realize this wedding is tacky as a motherfucker. This is a tacky-ass wedding. It was very tacky, but they're a tacky couple. You know, they are a tacky couple. They had the little fake James Brown performing wedding singer. That was interesting. Jacob Elordi definitely has, like, a villain face. He's good at being the villain. He looks, you know, he just looked like somebody you can't trust. And honestly, he seems to be, you know. Oh, do young people have the best weddings? Because I think that there's a thing. I feel like there's still a level of, like, hope, romantic, you know, hope, you know. What do they call that? Something romantic, hopeless romantic, I guess that they say. You know, like, you still believe in love enduring all, beating it, you know, like, it can conquer everything. We're going to make it. We're at the beginning of our lives. We're gonna live forever together. We're going to create together. You know, when you're young, like, that's the intention. That's the desire. Like, that's the belief, right? You get a little older, life done got old up in your ass. Maybe you got to work it out. Shout out to De La. But when life is really taking a toll on you, and then you finally maybe meet somebody that, you're like, all right, we'll work this out. I think we can do this. They're cool enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, they all right. They respect my boundaries. You know what I'm saying? I'm very particular about certain shit. They respect that. They give me my space. We ain't even really got to live next to each other. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. They don't upset me. All of that. You get that old seasoned wedding. An older wedding. You know, where you ain't going to have as many bridesmaids. You know, your best man might be your sponsor. You know what I'm saying? Life has been real. You know, it's a different feel to the wedding. You know, it's not as hopeful. It's a lot of real, it's realistic. You know, it's measured. You know, it might not be as many flowers. You know, it might be in somebody's backyard. It might not be down at the church. You know, it could be in the community room. You know, hey, it could be down at the, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It just at a venue, a hotel, ballroom. Not a good hotel either. Decent hotel. You know, it's different. It's different. It's a different. It's the difference between the single and the B-side. That's just what I'm looking at. That's one of my observations. Obviously, there's things that could kind of, you know. And there's the shotgun wedding, all those type of weddings. But, yeah, let me know what your favorite type of wedding is. What was your favorite wedding that you've been to? And how old was the couple? Anyway, at the wedding, you know, the wedding is this, it's a celebration. You know, Nate's pops gets up, he gives a drunken ass toast, but it's not terrible. It doesn't go all the way off the rails. What I also found, I listened to that podcast, I didn't realize that Eric Dane had ALS before he passed, even though he's still shot. So there's the thought that they made him drunk to kind of disguise, you know, how he's speaking now, you know. So that was interesting. That was interesting. But in the midst of all of the good cheer, I forget my man's name. Nas, I want to say his name is the cat that he owes $600,000. He pulled up on him from behind, pulled up on him. Put a heavy, yo, you owe me money, paw on his shoulder, pulled up. Say, hey, listen, I see all of this. See, you spent a lot of money here. I don't know how you getting all this money when you owe me money. You know, I know this is your wedding day and all that. I don't really want to make a scene, but I am pressing you in front of your wife. Hey, how you doing? Congratulations. Anyway, you owe me some bread. I feel disrespected. I'm looking at this spectacle, and it feels like you're playing in my face, you know. And is listen, I'm not gonna do nothing right here, but understand there are consequences, you know. Because at this point now, you told me one thing, and you did another. I don't like that. Y'all have a good day. And he slides up out of there, and Cassie's upset. And then I don't know who this woman is, because this is like the second episode in a row. There's a woman who is the wife to one of the guys that is working with Nate. Now, I don't know what either one of their names is, but she is playing a vicious game of telephone. She runs as soon as she got up quick before Cassie could even process it. She was got up, yo, they got our money. He owes money. I told you he ain't got no money because, you know, they got their child's college fund on the line. You know, they floating money they really shouldn't be. They kind of in above their head, you know, that greed to get you. So she's panicking, and Cassie is like, what's going on? Because she was in the dark. We owe money. Are you broke? You know, like this is after the fact. They already tied the knot. They did the dance and everything. Now it's like, oh, hell no. You know, Cassie didn't want to marry broke. She said that quite clear. So he's like, nah, don't worry about it. He cool at, like, just calming everybody, calming the situation. He gets up. He talks to the guy, the woman's husband. He's like, listen, it's a whole big thing. Don't worry about it. I just found this, like, real exotic plant on the site, and there's like a dozen of them, and I kind of had to reroute the whole thing. I mean, he is talking some cash shit. I don't think it's real at all, but he's saying whatever he needs to say to gas this cat and to understand that, like, nah, that $100,000 is gonna stay with me, and I need you to stay the course. We're gonna be all right. Don't worry about it. What you saw, that was don't believe your eyes. Don't believe your wife. Believe in me, we're going to make it, you know. And if you want that bread enough, you will look past all that. Now go tell your wife to chill. His wife is like, she's going off like a smoke detector. You know what I'm saying? This motherfucker's broke. You know what I mean? She's trying to tell the people. Cassie is not feeling that. He ain't broke. What you talking about? Da, 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 da. But she just is in the dark. She getting her cups. She start wilding a little bit because she feels like, you know, the wool just got pulled from over her eyes. Real fast, you know, I'm good for it. But yo, just to add a little bit of context, I thought it was a funny scene. I thought it was interesting. Cassie's being escorted down the aisle by her mom, you know, not her father, her mom. And her mom is in her ear just talking about how bullshit her wedding was. How she was so optimistic. She thought they was going to win. It was going to turn out great. And it just turned down. She can't believe she married this motherfucker in retrospect. You know, she's saying this all the way up until the altar. And then she's like, all right, baby, go have a great time. You know, it's almost like I thought she was really trying to hit her with some game. But I think she has no real self-awareness. She's just very jaded to the matter. But at the same time, she believes Nate is different. You know, there's also a part where Nate's mom throws a shot at Maddie saying, you know, my son, he, you know, you kind of got to hold your tongue when your son bring home the wrong woman. And he did, but he found the right one. You know what I mean? And Maddie caught a shot. Wow. But anyway, so Cassie's mad as hell. She got a champagne bottle in her hand. She's going back and forth with Nate. How could you do this to me? You're broke. How did you tell me? And the champagne bottle is like you know, pointed real close to his eye. And there's a part of me that's like, oh yeah, it's about to be nasty. Sure enough, cork pop catches him right in right above the eye. Fortunately. Boom, caught him. He got to go to the back, ice his face. They walk out. You know, they do the whole, you know, they throw the rice. Let's keep appearances, even though damn near everybody in this wedding seen everything go to shit. They jump into a damn stretch Hummer just to put the tacky cherry on the tacky sundae. And then they go, you know, they bring it back to the house. You know what I mean? For some post-marital coitus. You know, the honeymoon. Walk up in the spot. Sure enough, my man is in there, comfortable with some henchmen. With some henchmen. And they basically throw Nate a vicious ass whipping. They beat the brakes off of Nate. What's her name? Gets her nose bloody. Like one of the henchmen just kind of tosses Cassie to the side. She falls, you know, I guess hits her nose or whatever. So she's bleeding. She's a bride. She's bleeding. She's hysterical. And it's just the juxtaposition of her, you know, minimally wounded. It's bad. But, you know, she's bleeding and everything. But, like, Nate is getting, I mean, the shit stomped out of him. You know, he getting beat down and brought up the steps, pulled down the steps. Like, it's crazy. So much, and it's like a contrast, a juxtaposition to her, like, really crying about, like, her situation, her status in life on her wedding day or wedding night. This is terrible. I can't believe this. I'm bleeding. And right behind her, he's getting destroyed. Then, to make matters worse, I mean, they beat him bloody, got him. Laid out on the couch. My man starts to take his shoe off. At first, he grabs his foot. I thought he was going to, like, just break one of his legs or something. Grabs his shoe, takes his shoe off, takes his sock off, and then takes, like, not plier, but basically some snips and just clips my man's pinky toe. Boom! Pinky toe violence. I ain't seen that type of pinky toe violence since Della Reese got shot in Harlem Nights. My man Pinky Toe going, wow, blood spurting everywhere. Whoosh. And then they finally step out. You know, he still want his money. You know what I mean? But this is how I feel, you know. So there's that. That happens. And then the other side story, we're back at the brothel, Alamo, Bishop, G, they all just kicking it. They sitting there. You know, business is looking like it's pretty good. Even Rosalia is on the pole, complete with her neck brace. You know what I mean? Shout out to all communities. You know what I mean? So she out there doing her thing. And then out of nowhere, a pig comes through. A hog, I guess. don't know what the difference is a pig and a hog. Is a hog just a fatter pig? Is that what it is? Or is it like a real difference between, like, you know how some people think that mice are baby rats, but they're not. Mice and rats are two totally different breed, two different species. Anyway, so a big ass hog comes in there, pissing all through the venue and shit, killing the ambiance. Alamo is tight. He pull out his gun, wow, kills the pig right there in the middle of everything. Pig bleeding out. He's pissed off because he know Lori's behind this. So now he asks Rue, you know, what does Lori hold dear? And Rue was like, well, she has like a little parrot named Paladin. That's the episode. That's the name of the episode too, The Ballad of Paladin. And Paladin is also a reference to a Western, TV Western they used to come on back in the day. But anyway, so they like, oh, word. We about to kill that damn bird. You know, this is ridiculous. She's doing too much. So they set up a whole ploy for Rue to go back there. Alamo's buying again from Lori. That should have been a sign, but she's buying again from Lori. They're going to send Rue out there to go pick up and this, that. And then on Lori's side, they kind of quietly plotting, you know what? Maybe we should kidnap Rue. You know, I miss her. You know, that type of thing. So anyway, Rue goes out there. Bishop trails her. They pull up to the spot, ring the doorbell. Cat come out the side with the gun. Bishop surrenders his gun. Rue comes in there. And Bishop is standing there, and everybody's in there. You know, her henchmen are in there. The one that is dating the one girl, it looks like he kind of somewhat getting bullied by another cat because they like, nah, I can't. It ain't no fun if the homies can't have none. You can't be in here being exclusive with the only woman in the home besides Lori. So there's a little bit of back and forth with that shit. They off point. Anyway, Rue's over there getting the drugs, and Bishop smooths over towards Paladin. Hey, what's the bird name? Paladin? He looks like he's talking to the bird, and he puts like a tablet in the bird's water. And Lori's like, what are you doing? Because now he shows he has took one of the feathers off the bird, which is already, that's a violation. You just defeathered my bird? That you don't know me like that. Puts the feather in his afro. Lori kind of don't trip. You know, they make the transaction. They give him back his gun. They get on the road, separate cars. Rue's on the way back. She gets pulled over by what seems to be the police. Turns out it's a DEA agent, allegedly, who knew exactly who she was. Rue Bennett rolls down the window, tells her to get out the car, and then that's the end of the episode. Actually, right before the end of the episode, we see Paladin dying while Lori's in her rocking chair sleeping. You see Paladin, like, kind of seize up and fall from the perch and die. Bird death is tough. I've had some bird death in my family. And that is crazy. You don't realize, I mean, a pet is a pet is a pet, right? But sometimes there's certain tiers of pet. Like, you know, everybody, the dog is man's best friend. So the dog dies, people understand the, you know, the sadness or whatever. But a bird is a bird is a bird. And I've seen that bird sadness really affect the people too. But, yeah. And then, and if they, you know, if they're in a cage and they're on one of them little perches, when they die, they fall off that perch. Boom. You know, it's bad to see. So anyway, so that's where it ends. I think there was one other thing that I wanted to say. Oh, one thing, again, I don't know how I feel about this. So again, Rue's driving. She's on her way. I don't know if she's on her way from Lori's or on her way to Lori's. I think she's on her way to Lori's. She gets a collect call from Fez in the feds. And it's like, we know Angus Cloud is dead, but we acting as though he's still alive via these little phone calls. Like, that, I don't like that. I don't like that's how y'all acknowledge him. That seemed weird. That seems weird. Like, I don't know. But, yeah, that's it. That's my only, that's one of my only gripes with it. But, you know, I'm locked in. It's fun. Euphoria is its own thing. You know what I mean? It's its own thing. It's like, it's fun television. It's fun television. I'm still enjoying it. What are y'all? Y'all liking it? You with it? Is it too silly? Is it ridiculous? Are you tapped in? Are you invested? You know, let me know, you know? And R.I.P. Paladin. We out. Oh, nah, we ain't out like that. Yeah, Paladin's gone. But bye bye, Birdie. what was that about? Listen. I don't got no dates actually right now that I'm plugging. So I'm just gonna say thank you for listening. I appreciate it, especially if you're listening at this point and you made it all the way through. You know what I'm saying? And I will say this, as always, tell a friend to tell a friend. Me and an enemy to get in the conversation. Hello, 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 hello.